Well, I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Text I'm focusing on this morning is that gospel reading from Luke 10, where we heard the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I think this is one of those good news, bad news kind of scenarios, isn't it? I mean, news of a plentiful harvest, that's ordinarily good news, I would have thought. I mean, which drought-stricken farmer would complain if they were told that they were going to have a plentiful harvest this year? None, I would imagine. But Jesus, as we mentioned, wasn't talking about an agricultural harvest, was he? No, he was talking about a spiritual harvest of people for the kingdom of God. So this harvest is about those who have yet to be gathered into the kingdom of God as we have. This is a harvest of those who do not yet call on God in faith, a harvest of those who don't believe they have a loving Heavenly Father or that they have a Lord and Saviour in Jesus who died for them. It's this harvest that Jesus was referring to as he sent out the 72 disciples. And he said it was a plentiful harvest. And what about now, some 2,000 years later? What about the spiritual harvest in this nation of ours in Australia? Is it still plentiful? There's a few mumbles there. Not yes, there definitely is. Well, you better believe it is, this harvest in our country of ours. We used to be a so-called Christian country in Australia, but that hasn't been the case for decades. No, the spiritual harvest is growing more plentiful each and every day. The raw numbers of those in Australia who do not have faith in Jesus is increasing at an exponential rate. My question to you is, does that matter? If we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him, that there's no other name given to us under heaven by which we must be saved, then yeah, I reckon it matters. The fact that this harvest is becoming more plentiful by the day, there's an urgency around it because it is just sitting there and waiting. So it should matter to us as a church. So the spiritual harvest is plentiful, and I guess the good news about that is that we're not short on opportunities, are we, as a church, to proclaim the good news to our community and world. We've got plenty of opportunities, but bad news. But the workers are few. That's right, isn't it? And they seem to be coming fewer each and every day. We see that in our Lutheran church generally with a decline that's been experienced significantly over the last few decades. And we see it in our congregation specifically, though I have to say from my movement around the place, the Adelaide Hills is a bit of an exception. We're certainly not declining in our congregations in the Adelaide Hills as much as elsewhere in the Lutheran Church of Australia, but I wonder for how long. And even if our numbers are not diminishing, we may notice that the ones we do have are aging a little. And I didn't mean to offend anyone by that harvest comment in the kids' talk. And if I did, then take it up with Pastor Ben later. So even if our numbers aren't diminishing, we're an aging demographic as a church, and even if we have reasonable attendances at worship, it doesn't mean that everyone who comes to church is interested in engaging in the work of the harvest, does it? The issue of finding volunteers in the church isn't a new one. And again, as I've moved around the district, I'm actually yet to come across a congregation that is complaining because they've got just too many volunteers to deal with. And I don't think I'll find that here today either, I'm guessing. So as the harvest, the task gets greater, our capacity to do anything about it gets smaller. I mean, I was surprised when I was looking at the figures to see that when our LCA was formed back in 1966, there were only 12 non-Christians for every one baptised member of the Lutheran Church of Australia. And now that number exceeds 230. You know, we have a task of a plentiful harvest and an issue of few workers, and it can seem overwhelming, it can seem daunting, maybe even depressing. In the words of an old Lutheran hymn, we're facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees. But you know what? I reckon being driven to our knees is a pretty good place to be. Don't you think? Let's look at the text again. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. Ask. It's not rocket science. We need to be on our knees in prayer, asking the Lord of the harvest, who's Jesus, for his help. The Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand is in the period of a six-week season of prayer. I'm not sure whether you're aware of that or not, because we've recognised as a church that we face a significant harvest and we need to ask. We don't really know what we're doing a lot of the time. Sorry to share that with you. And so we've been called upon as a church to ask the Lord of the harvest for his help. And it seems to be an insurmountable task, this overwhelming, you know, objective that we have before us. But, you know, despite the ageing demographic of our LCA and its diminishing numbers, despite the stalemate that we've been engaged in for decades over the ordination issue that is threatening to tear us apart, despite the increasingly apathetic, even hostile environment that we're facing out there in society as a church, I don't believe we're done as an LCA. And more importantly, I don't believe that God is done with us. You see, I've entered my role, I'm very conscious that I've entered my role as an assistant bishop for mission, that I've entered this role at a critical juncture in our church's history. And as I've moved around, it's become increasingly apparent that we are at breaking point, at tipping point. And I have to say, in one sense, I couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. And that's not because I have a saviour complex. It's because I have a firm and unshakable and growing belief that we have a saviour. We have a risen and living Lord who is with us. You see, I refuse to focus on what we don't have as a church, because that would be taking our focus, our eyes, off of what we do have, off of who we have. Because we've got Jesus, haven't we? We have Jesus as the head of our church. We have Jesus as the risen and ascended Lord who has all authority in heaven and on earth. We have Jesus, who's the Lord of the harvest, and Jesus who sends workers into his harvest field. And I believe that is really good news. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Yeah, that sounds like a good news, bad news scenario, but I'm convinced that the balance is very firmly in the good news side of things. It's good news because the harvest is plentiful. Hear that? It's the actual spiritual harvest that is plentiful, not the potential for a harvest. See, I think we're often conscious about those who are antagonistic or apathetic toward the Christian faith. But those who are ready to receive the good news of Jesus are plentiful. It's what Jesus tells us, and I think he might know what he's talking about. So it's good news because the harvest is plentiful. It's very good news that we've got this. In John's gospel account, he told his disciples, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest." And he wasn't speaking hypothetically here. He actually spoke these words just after he had that encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, when you look at that, you know, what are the chances that a Samaritan woman is going to be receptive to the conversation from a male Jewish rabbi in that society? Not brilliant, I wouldn't have thought. And yet she responded to Jesus and believed in him. The harvest was ripe for her. And following these words, we're told that many other Samaritans came out from the town and also believed in him. So the good news is that the harvest is plentiful. There are plenty of people who are ready right now to hear the good news of Jesus and respond to him in faith. And they're out there in the community around us as we sit here this morning, aren't they? We just don't know who they are. And so then we get to the issue of the workers, don't we? What about the few workers? Surely that's not such good news. Yeah, I'd agree. It hasn't been. I think we've fallen into the trap of having a narrow field of who qualifies to be a worker in the harvest. We've traditionally seen pastors and evangelists and other key trained people as the workers in the harvest field because they've got the skill set to engage the harvest. And pastors and evangelists and other roles will always have roles to play in the church. But so too do all of the disciples of Jesus. Because where is this plentiful harvest? It's actually in our homes and in our streets and in our workplaces and in our schools. This isn't a call for more volunteers. This is a challenge to all disciples. You see, I'm not convinced we should be using the term volunteer in the church at all. It's not a biblical word. But a disciple is. See, the good news is that the few workers we think we have, when we limit it to the pastor and some other key leaders who have specific roles, suddenly expands significantly when we see ourselves as one of those workers, when we all see ourselves as one of those workers who are sent out by Jesus himself into the harvest field. And before you have the chance to protest that you're not suitable for such a task, let me remind you of some other good news. It doesn't depend on you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of our risen and ascended Lord. It doesn't depend on your capabilities, your strength, or your resources. God's grace is sufficient for us because his power is made perfect in weakness. See, we make the mistake all of the time, of thinking that we have to operate our mission from a position of strength. See, when we've got more members, when our finances are better, when we've got more young people and families around, when we've got better facilities, then we can be effective in our mission. We think that we're going to be successful in mission if we've got all of these things together. But look at how Jesus sent out the 72 disciples. He didn't emphasize what they had, but what they hadn't. Don't take a purse or bag, or sandals. In another instance, when he was sending out the 12, he said, take nothing with you for the journey. See, we think that for us to be successful in mission, we can be that if we can nail the quality of our music, if we can get comfortable pew cushions, if we can get effective programs and things happening in our church so that we can convince those around us that we're a happening place. But Jesus sends his disciples out with pretty much nothing. And you know what? He even makes them depend on the hospitality of those he's sending them to. Look at it. When you enter a house, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you. What a vulnerable, weak place to find yourself in. But when are we going to learn that our nothing has never been a problem for God to make his something happen? God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And when we could do nothing to save ourselves, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, the good news is that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest and it's his harvest field. The good news is that Jesus is the one who sends us. Jesus himself is sending you into the harvest field as his worker. The good news then, as he does that, is that Jesus is on the scene wherever he happens to be sending you. He's on the scene before you get there. He's on the scene while you're there, and he'll remain on the scene long after you and I are gone. If we have nothing else as workers in the harvest field than the presence of Jesus, then that's not a bad place to start, is it? And it's also not a bad place to finish. Because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. As we engage in his mission, he promises that he will be with us always to the very end of the age. So let's ask. Let's ask the Lord of the harvest, Jesus, to send out workers into his harvest field, ourselves included. And let us be prepared for his answer, one that just might exceed all of our expectations. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.